That means Mayor Michael Bloomberg and John Gambling back together again. Good morning.
It's been 6-8 weeks.
It has been probably a little bit longer, almost
longer
10 weeks.
Longer than that. And everybody was complaining. I mean, people came up to me in the street and said, "You got to get back on with gambling."
Well, I'll tell you, I thank you very much because I know you were courted by other radio stations. So,
well, that wasn't the alternative. The alternative was last week. I was in London on Friday. Called in from there. I could do this show from London. You can
do it with radio and telephones and communications. You could do it from anywhere.
Given both of us are golfers, we could do this from the golf course.
What a fine idea. Would you talk to the management, Jerry Crowley?
I'll see what I can do, but unfortunately it's raining outside at the moment.
Not today. Good to have you back here.
Thank you, but just to welcome you back, I have something for you.
And what's that?
That is, believe it or not, this big piece of granite.
I wondered why you're carrying rocks around with you.
This is from the Brooklyn Bridge. This was some of the original stone when they built the Brooklyn Bridge. It was taken out during a renovation. And you know what's coming up this coming weekend.
I do indeed. The 125th anniversary of the Brooklyn Bridge. And I think the celebration starts on Thursday next week.
Right? I was at the 100th anniversary.
So was I.
It was
fantastic.
Yeah. This time
I can't believe that was 25 years ago.
I know that. This is going to be slightly different. We're going to have fireworks. We're going to have Brooklyn Philharmonic. We're going to listen to Marty Markowitz talk for 2 or 3 hours, and Michael Bloomberg say good evening, and Marty.
Introduce Marty.
Turn over to Marty.
We don't go home.
We're going to have some birthday cake from Cake Man Raven, who's doing it for us. We're going to sing Happy Birthday. That's actually what Marty's going to lead, and he'd be perfect at doing that. Happy Birthday to the Bridge. But we have a whole week of things, dance performances, and a Tour de Brooklyn bicycle tour. A made in New York movie, actually, Enchanted, which features the Brooklyn Bridge. I know you knew that. So put on your calendar right now. Starts Thursday.
One of the great icons we have.
Not to
mention the bridge.
Around the world, if you show a picture of the bridge, they know it's the Brooklyn Bridge. They know it's New York.
This is obviously the first time I've moved down to Lower Manhattan here at WOR and 111 Broadway. So when I drive on the FDR Drive and come down. I had a chuckle. There's a flashing traffic sign by the Brooklyn Bridge stating that it's being washed. For the last month, they've been washing the bridge.
We are working on making the bridge. We all clean up for our birthdays.
Everybody.
You know, you put on your finest and that sort of thing. No reason the city should not do that. If you go to www.nyc.gov or call 311, you can find out about all the things that are taking place. But the bridge opened in 1883. You and I were small at that time. And the celebration starts the 22nd, which is this coming Thursday at 6 p.m. And everybody is welcome. And it's going to be a wonderful thing. You know, when they built the bridge, I've seen pictures of it. They had, I think there might have been trains across it, and they marched some elephants, as I remember, over it. People were worried that there would be, that the bridge would collapse.
Correct. There was great fear because nobody had seen a bridge quite that big.
Yeah, it was the longest suspension bridge. And the guy that built it, Robles, in the end, I remember reading the book about, he was sick and he supervised the last few years
from his deathbed
in a building, as I remember.
Exactly, up on Park Slope, which overlooks the bridge. It should be a good party. Speaking of good times and possibly a party if they're not rained out tonight, two local baseball teams up at Yankee Stadium, Mets and Yanks.
I was at Shea the other night with my youngest daughter to watch the Mets win, and to show you just how big a deal I am in my daughter's eyes, Willie Randolph waved to me, and Georgina saw it. She said, that's impressive.
That's impressive. not you, Dad, but Willie Randolph.
Willie's a great guy. Joe Torre's I got to know over the years is a great guy. And the new manager of the Yankees, who I spent some time with on the field and in the locker room at Chicago Stadium for the Chicago White Sox, great managers, great teams, exciting, it'd be fun. Both are sort of setting up the leagues and their divisions
for the
comeback.
That's what the Yankees are doing.
They want to lull everybody in and get them to make some bad trades, make some bad decisions. They want the managers to think that they know what they're doing, and then they'll come rushing in. And we are going to have a Subway Series. And if you want to know who I'm going to root for, the answer is New York.
New York, absolutely. Speaking of New York, let's get into a couple of things here and talk about things that are making the news and maybe make some news. Talk with Governor Patterson just minutes ago here and asked him about these very controversial, and I know you've been against these union bills that would give DC 37 nurses and midwives the opportunity to retire in their low or mid-50s.
Well, the issue to me is not whether that's a good or bad idea. That's something for the union to negotiate with the city, and the city negotiates terms and compensation and what the city employees are required to do. But those are appropriate things for the city to negotiate with the union. What's happening here is after that negotiation, and we come to a contract, the unions then tend to go to Albany because Albany's receptive. And Albany, who's not paying for any of this,
unfunded mandates.
That's right. They pass a law requiring the city, after all the negotiations, we've got some things and we gave up some things. That's fair. That's what a negotiation's all about. Then they come back and double dip, and the city just really cannot afford this. And it's
well, the
totally
governor said no way.
The governor is on the right side of this. It isn't. Look, DC 37 is a great union. They are employees that they do more different things in the city than any other union. It's really amazing when you look down the different job titles, and it's very well run, and it's been well run for years. Lillian Roberts is a woman who really knows a lot about government and a lot about labor and a lot about negotiations. Very tough negotiator, which is what she's supposed to be for her members. But in this case, they've gone up to Albany. They even drafted a bill. The legislature, one of the legislators introduced the bill, and when it was asked about it by the New York Times, said, oh, I didn't read the bill. He said, I didn't write the bill. The union gave it to me, so I introduced it. And then in Albany, they require an economist to certify or to tell them what the costs are of these things.
Right.
You should read the story in today's paper. The economist is paid for by the union. And when you ask the Albany legislators, oh, we didn't know that, in Washington, for all of the dysfunction and the outrageous ways they waste our money in Washington, at least they have independent budget numbers that have arrived at by experts. In this case, it is just thoroughly corrupt. The economist who the union hired said, oh, yeah, I just give them any number they want. I don't care. It's not my problem to tell Albany that they pay for me.
What does that tell you about some people in Albany?
You know, it just can't keep going on. We are all going to go and have enormous economic problems. I'm determined to keep the city out of them, and Governor Patterson is determined to keep the state out of them. But you just have to stand up and say some of these things we can't afford. Some things we have to have taxes for and have to have services, and that's fine. But we can't do everything, and this constant giveaway. If the unions want to have a reduced retirement age, for example, this is what this bill
they
is about.
They should negotiate it.
Yeah, well, we've done that. We've done it with the teachers. In return for which the teachers have agreed to teach more or different hours, more hours, whatever the case may be. I have no problems in negotiating with unions. You take a look at our negotiations with the United Federation of Teachers. We have increased teachers' salaries in the city in the last 6 years, 43%. They now get paid on a par equal to those counties like on Long Island that are all of a sudden experiencing, they've been giving away the store, and all of a sudden the rooster's coming home to roost, or whatever the term is. Chicken's coming home to roost. Rooster's probably not roost. Hen's roost. but we've raised that, in return for which, however, they've changed a lot of the seniority things, and we have performance pay in schools, which we think will help the school, give an incentive to do a better job. The teachers are teaching more hours. It was a fair negotiation. I will say, however, they then, to give you an example of how this works, they then this time during the middle of the night in the budget, both the Republican Senate and the Democratic Assembly slip in something to the budget without any hearings, without any publicity, a law that then gets passed in the middle of the night and signed.
Nobody sees.
Nobody sees. No discussion. Nobody sees it. And the law says when granting teachers tenure after 3 years, which is something we had negotiated,
right,
you can't judge whether or not teachers can teach.
Can you hold off on that? Because that's one of the things I want to ask you about.
Our kids are holding off their education over it.
Hold on. I know that you want to talk about that, and we will as we continue at 17 minutes after 8 o'clock. John Gambling, Mayor Michael Bloomberg, News Talk Radio 710 WOR, coming right back. 8 o'clock. It's a Friday. It's the 16th day of May. It's Mayor Michael Bloomberg. First visit here to Studio 4 at WOR.
Building.
I used to work at 60 Wall Street when I first came to New York in 1966, and the views are spectacular.
Beautiful.
We used to go to Trinity Church and have a picnic at lunchtime in the graveyard.
Did you see my office? Did they let you walk in there? I overlooked the cemetery at Trinity Church.
Let me just get this straight. You have a fancy office. I work and get paid, I'm sure, an enormous amount of money.
Enormous, obscene amount.
And I work for $1 a year, sit in the bullpen in the middle, so far from a window, even with my contacts, I can't see that far.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you the name of my agent. How's that?
That's probably he'll have to negotiate with the mayor, unfortunately.
all right, back to the teachers' union and the stuff, this absent teacher reserve, which it's become known as. These are teachers that are not adequate for the school classroom, yet they're on the payroll at the tune of $80 million.
I don't think it's too. I thought it was 80 million. But regardless, number one, all of them aren't bad teachers. There are some who, when the school is closed, the difference in the olden days, when the school was closed, they could walk into any school in the city and say, "I've got seniority," and force the principal to dump the least senior person. We negotiated that away. The principal should be able to pick their own teachers. We're holding the principals responsible for the performance in the school. They're the managers, and while some people don't like management, that's what you got to have. If the teacher is, I think the term is excessed, for example, when the school closes, they go to this central area, and I think, in fact, there are multiple central areas, and then they supposedly apply to other schools to get jobs. Some of them are spectacular teachers and are snapped up by principals, and we shouldn't tar all of them with the same brush. There are, however, in these rooms, those teachers that principals say, "I don't want them in the classroom. I'd rather have," and the city would rather pay them and have them sit around than have them in a classroom where they're hurting the kids.
But wouldn't you rather not have to pay them?
That's a separate issue. Separate issue is how do you get rid of teachers who aren't good and can't teach? And even the union would admit there's some. They would say there's negligible number. I would say there's slightly more than negligible, but it is a very small percentage of the total teachers. What's happened in the city is we've been able to attract teachers from around the country. We have 50,000 or 60,000 applicants from around this country every year for 5,000 slots. This is a hot place to work for teachers. It's a great place for young people, so they want that. We're a magnet. The teachers' union has negotiated a great contract for them, so they're well paid for the teaching business, and we don't lack for good teachers. But what do you do when you have a teacher who can't teach? And there is a procedure. It is cumbersome. It takes forever. And you can argue whether that's good protection for teachers or not. Most teachers, however, get tenure. Now, we have tenure at the college level because at the college level, if they say something, they want to be able to have freedom of speech and be protected. In all fairness, you can make the case that tenure is not a concept that we should have because our teachers are teaching reading and writing and art and sports and whatever. They're not expressing themselves and expanding, you know, the political dialogue and taking controversial positions. That's not the job. And they should be treated, I think, like every other municipal employee. But regardless, in the contract that says you get tenure, we've negotiated where you don't get tenure for 3 years. We've negotiated where there's a process to decide whether the teacher can teach, and it's a very important one because if you make a mistake, then it's very difficult to get rid of that teacher, and the teacher will be there fundamentally for the rest of their lives or for for decades. So the process is really important, and Albany now says, oh, you can't
do anything.
You can't measure whether the teachers can teach. And I was with a state senator and a state assemblyman yesterday. I said, oh, no, you can't use test scores. That's not the right ways to measure it. It's up to the principal. Well, just picture this. The principal denies you tenure, and you were going to say, well, it's because my name starts with a G. It's because I am 6'5" or whatever, however tall you are or whatever. You can't. You don't want subjective things. You want objective
things. You want metrics like any other business uses to judge whether or not they are successful.
And you listen to the Albany people talk, and we don't want to be measured. No. See, the teachers, the union puts them up
for that. This is antithetical to the educational process.
Well, if you believe that, then get the public to scream bloody murder. This is the most outrageous thing that Albany has done. It's bad enough that they pass bills we have to pay or some of these other things, but to take away the ability to judge whether a teacher can teach, and I don't care what they say about, oh, no, that's not the ways to do it. In the real world, you use metrics. And we have the metrics, and the teachers are doing a spectacular job. And they even most the teachers don't want these bad teachers. What's wrong with being judged? If you're good, you want to be judged.
That's the point I don't have never understood in the educational world. Why those that are as good as they are afraid of this sort of judgment?
Yeah, I don't think it is. I think it's more their representation than the average teacher.
So, okay, so the unions are just using it as their job, as their calling, what they're supposed to be doing.
I don't even fault the unions for it. It's the Albany legislature here that's at fault, not the unions. Unions should ask for an infinite amount of pay for zero work and the ultimate working conditions. That's their job.
Albany,
we just shouldn't give it to them.
Albany seems to have nobody that they are accounting to.
Because they here's the issue, John. They get support when they vote something for somebody there's no penalty on the other side. The taxpayer and the parents aren't holding them accountable and responsible.
Why do you think that is? Because that's exactly a train of thought that I talk about all the time.
It's the same thing with the NRA. A single issue advocacy group says to the elected official, if you don't vote our ways, we're going to go after you. We're going to support your opponent. We're going to withhold money from you. We're going to get all our members to vote against you. On the other hand, the other side, the people who the general public, they judge people by many, many things, not just one issue. So single issue advocacy groups always have a disproportionate percent of power compared to their size. And that there are a number of them, and they're very effective because nobody's willing to judge to take the single issue on the other side. Rational people use lots of ways and say, well, the guy or the woman isn't where I want him on this, but she is where I want him on so many things, I'm going to vote for him.
Talk about metrics and schools. The state has put more New York City schools on what they call their honor roll about improving, 328 this year, up, I think, 9 or 10 from last year.
Forget about the rubber room, which is what we call the place where these excess teachers are. The teachers in this city are doing a spectacular job, and I don't understand why sometimes the union doesn't stand up and brag about the good job they're doing. Instead, they try to protect the handful of bad teachers. But the bottom line is, whether it's our principals or our teachers, the assistant principals, the custodians, the school safety agents, all the people that work in the educational system are improving graduation rates, improving test scores, which is the measure of whether or not people say, I don't want you teaching to the test. Hey, the test is can you read or not? The test is can you do the math? The test is can you ask a question and understand the answer and make your case. Those are the things that we should be teaching to, and those are the things, to the extent possible, that testing does measure. And the schools are getting better and better and better.
No Child Left Behind helping New York?
It's a law designed for the whole country. It doesn't hurt. It's a little bit helpful. I will say for the president, at least he's trying to focus on education. It is Congress goes and passes a law where each state can dumb down the tests so that they can qualify for monies. You know, you shouldn't do that. In New York City, we are raising the standards that you have to get through our school system. We are doing the ultimate favor to our children, who 20 years from now will be able to make a living and express themselves and enjoy democracy because of what our teachers are teaching them today.
We have to take a break, but it makes you wonder why there's always so much pushback in that neck of the woods. We've got lots to talk with Mayor Michael Bloomberg about. We also want to make some room. Bloomberg is here, and we'll get to you on the phones at 800-321-0710 in just a little bit. A lot of things have been going on. A lot of noise about discretionary funds, city council, the mayor's office as well. Also earmarks, member items, call them what you will. Is that as a political concept a good idea? I mean, I understand practically.
Number one, at a federal level, it tends to be big amount of money. At a state, medium amount of money. At a city, very small amounts of money. But regardless, the issue here is all legislatures have this because the legislators want to be able to tell their district, whether it's a state or a county or a congressional district or a city councilmatic district, they want to be able to come home and say, I brought home the bacon for you.
And it's not a bad thing. For example, out where we are, the Boys and Girls Club
got
money.
It's designed to do, at least at the city level, which is I'm more knowledge of, to do little things at a local level where, in all fairness, the city government can't be every place. We have 8 million people. We have 1,000 different communities. And so if the Little League needs $5,000 or the senior home needs an extra or something, I don't happen to think there's anything necessarily wrong with
that.
And
I don't think the people do either. It's when it's abused that it becomes the problem.
Now, there are some issues here. One is the city, the administration negotiates with the city council for a new budget. At the end, like all budgets, it's, you know, this, that, and the other thing. It all comes together very quickly. And the mistake that was made before, and I gather it's been made for many years, is because they weren't able to allocate everything, they sort of said, well, we'll allocate some of it during the year. And instead of calling it to be allocated or reserve fund or something, they put in some fake names, which is unconscionable. Nobody was hurt, incidentally. Later on, those things were changed to real organizations. And, incidentally, down the road, all of these things go through specific city agencies. And the agencies have a responsibility to check to make sure there aren't conflicts and there aren't crooks in there and that the money gets actually spent. And they do a pretty good job. Thousands of these go through every year. So right. I'm sure something slips through. There are some conflicts where some of these went to districts where the person at the legislature asking for them had a conflict because a relative of theirs was working there, and then, those kinds of things should be cleared with the Conflict of Interest Board or just prevented. You have to make sure that it doesn't go to a religious organization because the city can't give its money to religious organizations, although the city forever has paid for transportation in schools, religious schools, books in religious schools. It's ways to try to get around, I suppose you could argue, the church-state separation. But these processes go on, and I don't know that anybody gets particularly hurt. I've found the city itself, the administration itself, when a city councilman comes to us and recommends a project, even if the city council isn't recommending it, we take recommendations from advocacy groups and everybody, and that's what we're supposed to do.
And you vet them and you choose which ones you think is
We're supposed to find out what the city needs and then do it. And all of the stuff that the city allocated that way are in this management report, which anybody can get by calling
the problem here is
monitor's
they
report.
All haven't been reported.
Well, the city ones, they're all there. What we never did, and I've had Deputy Mayor Skylar now, we're doing it, is say these come from so-and-so, and were asked for by councilman so-and-so, councilwoman such-and-such. So we didn't identify them that way, but they're all in the monitors package, which goes to the controller and the state controller and the community boards, and which you can get a copy of. And I've told Mark Page, our head of Office of Management Budget, we're going to put the whole thing on the web so everybody can see. And some of this is just, you know, the information's there. Nobody ever bothered to look at it. All of a sudden, you discover it, and you say, oh, this is something new.
Let's go a little further, right?
Well, it's been there, so come on. So there are some abuses. We're trying to make sure those don't slip through. We want to make sure that all the monies get spent and get spent appropriately. And should a legislature, some people would argue legislators should only pass laws and should never be involved in bringing home the bacon. I think the way legislatures work throughout the world, that is a very naive view. And incidentally, most of the things that are done, not all, but most of the things are good things for their constituents. And if every district gets something, then it's good for the city's home. In the federal government, they build a bridge to nowheres. That's an earmark that should never have happened. On the other hand, an awful lot of stuff, you know, Chuck Schumer, our senior senator, and Hillary Clinton, our junior senator, their job is, in many cases, to bring money here back to the city to help build big projects. At a federal level, it's big stuff. At a state level, we want our state assembly people and senators to bring things here, and we judge them on whether they do, and the same thing is true at the city council.
All right, there's been a lot of noise. Speaking of Chuck Schumer, he's been involved in this and questioning the West Side development. The governor and you and others in the Moynihan Station turning it over to the Port Authority. Is this just an attempt by individuals to not have to pay for the Moynihan Station?
No, the Moynihan Station is one of these big complex projects. There's the state involved, there's the city involved, there's the MTA involved, there's
the federal government
Amtrak involved, there's private interests like the Dolans and with Madison Square Garden, which is a key part of this, there's developers' money involved. It's a very complex thing. We had a plan when Pataki was governor. Still being negotiated. Spitzer comes in, stops all of these things, says he wants to look at it, not inappropriate necessarily, but took a year, and I think it's fair to say most of these things came to screeching halt, at least a number of the big projects did. Then all of a sudden we have another new governor who has the same responsibility. He can't expect David Patterson to automatically sign on until he does due diligence. So that's one of the things that slowed this down. The Dolans have been frustrated. They don't think the city is, and the state and the MTA and everybody else is ever going to get this done. And one of the things that scares developers is every time they see in the paper another level of government weighs in with a different idea.
They don't want to get involved.
They want to, don't want to get involved. They
is that what happened in the West Side development?
I don't think so, but there are certainly Tishman Speyer got very worried about whether or not the ULURP process and the rezoning of the western part of the yards would get done. These are difficult times in the credit markets, as you know, to finance any of this stuff. I am convinced that, look, we fully funded, or almost fully funded, the number 7 extension line. That is, nobody would build on the west side without that. Nobody. The Reichmans went bankrupt right. in Canary Wharf because the government didn't deliver. So we've found a ways to ensure that that's going to get done. I think Tishman Speyer has dropped out, but there are two or three others who are really interested. I think we're going to have good news reasonably soon, and another developer will come in. That's one of the great Gold Coasts of the city.
Will Moynihan be turned over to the Port Authority?
Well, first question, we've got to come up with a legitimate, a fundable ways where all the parties agree. We're working with the state and the MTA to find a ways to do that. The city has got Bob Lieber, our EDC, to work with them. And I think the question of Chuck Schumer has suggested that the Port Authority should be the developer. The Port Authority has some money, and we'd like to get their money, but the Port Authority, my view is, has really is very extended downtown. Their first job is the World Trade Center site. Can't have it both ways. We can't keep giving them things and then criticize them
for not getting it done.
Yep. We're making progress downtown. Silverstein's finally actually building two of the new towers. The third one, he gets the property. There's one piece, the Deutsche Bank building, is starting to come
right
down again. So we're going to eventually, that all the pieces there, the one unknown is the Calatrava Port Authority terminal. That is very expensive, and that's the one piece that we can't quite figure out how to pay for it. But that's getting done. Whether the Port Authority has the resources to do other things, we just got to take a look and see. But I am convinced downtown's finally going. And it's so complex. You know, they used to blame Pataki, then they blame Spitzer, now they blame Patterson. Look, these guys are all trying. It's complex. It's getting done faster. I don't know whether you could have done it faster, but I've always defended them because they've always kept trying to work. West Side going to get done, Hudson Yards, East Side Solos development's going. Moynihan's the next big project we're working on.
All right, last week a lot of noise from a certain segment of the city here about the reaction to the verdict in the Sean Bell trial of the police officers. Al Sharpton demonstrating with his group in a number of places, shutting down traffic, making a mess of things. Also saying that the federal government should cut off funds for the New York City Police Department.
Well, you know, one of the great things about America, John, is you can express your views. Those are views I don't happen to agree with, but my job's to make sure that people have a right to protest and to say those things, and also, at the same time, to make sure that they don't take away the rights of others to protest or others to go about their business.
Claims there'll be more demonstrations, shutting down bridges and...
In all fairness, the NYPD and the demonstrators were reasonably responsible. The NYPD handled it as perfectly, I thought. They were minor demonstrations. They made their point. They didn't cause any chaos. They did it not at rush hour, but before rush hour. Nobody was roughed up. Everybody that wanted to get arrested, we accommodated them. They did get arrested. So they're ways of saying
something,
and that's fine. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. And, you know, I think it just shows the maturity of this city. We didn't have riots in the streets. We didn't have people trying to destroy everything we built. This city today is very different than in the past. People want to make it work. They want to make it work together. And I will protect their rights and the rights of everybody in terms of whether the federal government should get involved. You know, go talk to the federal government. I think the NYPD does not need another level of supervision. They are doing a spectacular
job.
Not only they're bringing down crime, all the metrics of, you know, police brutality and shooting, all those things, everything is getting better and better. Diversity is getting better. Every way you measure the NYPD, is it perfect? No, we have 55,000 odd people that work there. We've got 35,000 uniformed people. But, you know, they keep bringing down crime, and they keep improving community-police relations, and we have every reason to be very proud of them. And the commissioner's doing a great job.
He is indeed. I talked with him earlier in the week. I've got a long list of things and questions to talk about. However, I'm going to push them aside. We will go to the telephones, and you will be next to ask the questions of Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Mayor Michael Bloomberg is with us on a Friday. He will be each and every here from Studio 4 at News Talk Radio 710 WR. Mr. Mayor, you want to go to the telephones here?
Absolutely.
Let's see what's on the mind of New Yorkers. Going to start with Greta out there on line one. Hello, Greta.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. You've got the mayor. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. Mayor Bloomberg, I wanted to commend you. You're one of the first persons I've heard who recognizes the difference between teaching to the test and teaching what our children have to know. And as an educator and also someone who educates new teachers, I keep telling my teachers that. It's not teaching for the test. If this is what our children should know and they're being tested on, then we have to teach that.
Well, it's a little more complicated than
but
that.
You're but you're nice but to say that. I mean, I couldn't agree more. It's this business of we can't measure is wrong. I can just tell you, in New York City, we are trying to raise the standards for jobs, for example. You want to work for the New York City Sanitation Department, you have to have a high school diploma. Now, you can say, wait a second, maybe you don't really need a high school diploma for some of the jobs. You need a high school diploma or the knowledge that you get when you go through high school to participate in the great American dream.
Absolutely.
And anything we can do to tell our students, hey, you're not going to have a future unless you stay in school. Everybody benefits, and we're working very hard at
Greta,
that.
Greta, thanks for the telephone call.
Our teachers are just doing a spectacular job.
All right. Aaron in Manhattan, you've got Mayor Michael Bloomberg at WOR. Hello, Aaron.
Yes, good morning. 2 days ago in the New York Post, they had an article about corruption with the school bus industry.
Yep.
With the Department of Education.
Yeah, what's the question, Aaron?
And the question is, are they going to renew the contracts for the school bus industry with the private contractors, or the city's going to take over?
No, the city's not going to take it over, Aaron. We have lots of things to do, and there are some good companies out there. There were some people who were indicted for allegedly trying to tip off people when inspectors were coming and a variety of things. But we have a process that, number one, it caught these people. So let's point out that not everybody's honest, and you want to make sure the system catches them. By and large, the private companies that we contract with do a good job. Most of their employees keep the buses safe, and none of these things that the bad guys were alleged to have done jeopardize school safety. So we've got to make sure that we can pick up the kids and get them to school. But services like that, the city contracts out. We can't do everything. What the city should be doing internally are those things that are absolutely critical where we can do it better than the private side. For example, I don't think you would contract out police or fire. Sanitation, we contract out or allow people to contract out privately those companies that pick up from the commercial side, but we take care of the residents. Those are our citizens. Corrections, for example. In a lot of states, they contract out, and I don't know if they'd even do it upstate here. In the city, we want to make sure that anybody that's incarcerated is taken care of by somebody that we can ensure everybody is well-trained and dedicated and well-managed and that sort of thing. And, in fact, the corrections does work.
I know there's no brief answer to my question here, but what's the latest on your garbage plan?
We've got to get it through the Albany legislature. The one place where we need Albany
the transfer station
is
down here. Isn't
Gansevoort Peninsula to go crossing the Hudson River Park. Three of the assembly people were opposed to it. We've tried to satisfy all of the requirements, all of the requests of the speaker and the majority leader in terms of whether there are alternatives that we could afford or that would work, and how we are mitigating any disruption. And my hope is that they will both pass it. It would be a disaster if it fell apart, because every borough is supposed to be taking care of their own waste. And, in fact, we're making a lot of progress. We've gone a long ways towards that, but we have to do it for Manhattan.
All right,
well,
back to the telephones at 1-800-321-0710. Jack in New Jersey, what's your question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Mayor. Good morning. morning, John. I would like your input on how to handle an outstanding parking violation. I'm from New Jersey. Problem is, I have a summons here stating the date, the location, and my not responding to the summons. Unfortunately, or fortunately, the date it took place was the 23rd, which...
What's the question? What kind of help you need with this?
How can I go about resolving this issue?
It should say on the ticket how you protest or ask for a hearing, some of which can be done by mail. If it's not adequate, just call 311 and somebody will tell you. So sorry you got the ticket. If you broke the law, you should pay the fine, and if you didn't, we should make sure that you don't have to. And thank you for the call. Why don't we go to Anthony?
Anthony, good morning. You're with the mayor. Go. We're almost out of time. Go.
Okay, quick. Couple of just comments on traffic. Good morning, fellas. Number one, we used to have an old plan on the Seaford-Oyster Bay Expressway to build a highway over to Connecticut to alleviate all the traffic coming to Manhattan. I know that's out of your jurisdiction, but maybe it's time we talk about it.
Well, you know, there's
probably
one.
No, but I'll tell you, I was in Milan on Sunday, and the mayor of Milan is a very smart woman. They put in congestion pricing, and she said it's the most popular thing she's done. Traffic in the central city is down 20%, and they have all this revenue now to focus on mass transit.
What a good idea.
That's what we should do. What a disgrace. And we are choking. The streets are just unbelievable.
And the people who killed that bill have no alternative. They have no ideas.
You got it.
There's just nothing there. Mr. Mayor, we are out of time. I'm glad to see you back here, and I look forward to seeing you next Friday.
I cannot wait.
All right. Have fun at the Brooklyn Bridge celebration.
The night before we get together.
Yeah, exactly so. Thursday the 22nd. Great to have you back here. We'll be